Great. So my name is Chandler Atkins, and this is my wife, Laura. Okay. We want you to know we're not like preachers. I'm actually a lawyer, so I'm like the opposite of a preacher. And Laura is a teacher. So we helped out with the church plant back here at the church back in 2004, and then we ended up helping start a tutoring and mentoring ministry called New Heights that our church does now. We lead the ministry. We lead a small group, and we're happy to kind of share with you what we've kind of learned over the last few years and what we're still learning. Did that go? Okay.
Sweet. All right. So we wanted to put this picture up just so you guys can see where New Heights started. So when New Heights started, I think we were both 19. Maybe one of us was 20. But we were just students ourselves. So we had a vacation Bible school at our church, and a bunch of kids came from kind of a rough neighborhood. And one night, some of the kids didn't have a ride home, and so we offered to take them home. And when we got there, they were like trying to crawl in the window, and their parents weren't home, and there was like a drunk aunt hanging out. And so we took an interest just in those two kids and started picking them up for church. And we would take them out to the kid called it Pizza Street, and we would get pizza and let them do arcade games. And so one week we're driving home, and Chandler said, "Hey, wouldn't it be cool if we could do something more for these kids? What if we had like a tutoring program?" And I was like, "Yeah, that could be cool. I'm going to be a teacher, so maybe I might learn something in one of my classes about this." So, you know, we were young. We didn't have any money. We had no vehicles. We had a very small building.
That's not actually Laura's car, but that's Laura's. She called it Essie, and we just started picking up kids in the
back of our Escort. So we had nothing to start with. So, you know, you don't have to have a church bus. You don't have to even have a van. You don't have to have a big building. We, in the park in our neighborhood, we use that to meet kids. And so the first week that we had our tutoring program, I think we had like 8 kids there and like 3 or 4 adults. And we made some food on the George Foreman. And so that was what it was. So New Heights has lots of volunteers and lots of kids, and we have buses and a building and all of those things, but we wanted you guys to get to see where it started from.
Yeah, so she's a teacher, but I didn't even really like kids that much. I was just trying to like find a way to help, you know. So we did a bunch of kind of weird stuff. I could tell you stories, but we have a limited time, so I'll not tell you the stories. But, I don't know how long we'd been doing it, but at some point Jess Hinman came over, and she'd been doing like a similar, and Jess is here. She was doing like a similar program at another church, and she like brought in like the organization and the ideas of how like we could, you know, not just pick up a mob of kids and set them free every week and then try to get them to go back home, you know? And so we started, doing like a weekly tutoring thing. We ended up getting, first we got a van, a church, actually Steve Cox, who's here, was a preacher at a church in like Alabama or somewhere. And they did like a special collections for us, and they helped us get like $2,500 or something, whatever it was, to buy a used old van. And we started picking up more kids, and we ended up getting some buses eventually. And then we started doing like community service things in the neighborhood. We'd go like door to door and cut grass and fix stuff. We'd go to, you know, the Cardinals give us tickets, so we get to take kids to Cardinals games. We'd do like go to the pool night and that kind of stuff to keep kids involved and just to keep kids having fun. And so over the years, these are like pictures of our camps and things. Like, I think this was like after like a few years, and then one of those is like more recent. And so it's been really cool to see, you know, the program grow and stuff, and other helpers like come in and bring their kind of ideas and stuff to help us grow. So our focus is really on mentoring. You know, we try to like educate kids and provide that service, but it's really what we're trying to do is to connect with kids and connect with their families to kind of introduce them to Christ and to the church. It's mostly kids, you know, but we also have want to focus on parents as well, you know, and so like we try to use every opportunity we can to not just pick up kids, but to also talk with parents and, you know, and we invite them to things at our house or at, you know, and, you know, De'Asia goes on walks with some of the moms and stuff, you know, and so we have a, we try to connect with them as best we can, and we try to focus on the mentoring side. And so, so yeah. Now this doesn't work. Then there's no, we can't find the remote control for this television. You got it now. Nice. Okay. Okay. Sweet. So that you do, we're not going to watch this whole thing. This is our kind of the biggest thing we do in the end of the year. It's a Christmas program. Lots of community service organizations help us out and donate and stuff. But so that we just kind of set up a big store and it's a lot of fun. But I really like this because if you go, Jake, can you like scroll to the towards the end? Like click like 2 inches to your left, right there. Yeah, click that somewhere. This is all, they all get a present and then they all open their presents. But the so this is, yeah, it's fun. And somewhere, that kid is Malachi, who's now like in high school at our Innerbelt Church. So, yeah, that was Malachi when he was, and I don't know what how old he is, but yeah. So yeah, and, you know, yep. And I think JJ and Jamari are somewhere in that crowd too. So yeah, you can turn it off. There's a lot of streaming for the next few minutes. So, but yeah, so. So why have a New Heights ministry?
Yeah. So the next thing I want to talk about is why do New Heights? So we've kind of told you like what it is, kind of what it looks like. But next thing we want to talk about is why do we have it? And so the first reason is because God gives us responsibility to care for the hurting. And so the Bible does talk about how we should treat those who are hurting and in need. And so we're going to talk to you guys about that. It provides an example to our community. So we've had a lot of opportunities for New Heights, but also for our church because of New Heights, because they've seen our church out serving the community, and that's provided a lot of opportunities for us. Because ministry helps to make disciples. And so it is a really long-term thing. Some of these kids that we're picking up are 5 or 6, but we have had the privilege of seeing many of them become disciples. That is a really long journey, but it's so well worth it. And then lastly, because it helps to grow disciples. And so we've seen a lot of the people who've gone out on our church plants served in New Heights, and that is where they learned a lot of the skills and the tools that they were going to need for a church plant. It's through our ministry.
Yeah, and so to talk a little bit more about that, you know, Deuteronomy 10:18 says that God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and leaves and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing, and you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. And so, you know, with these terms, foreigner and fatherless and widow, in our society, you know, widows are not, I mean, there's obviously widows, but I think for us, like in our current society, it's like single parents, you know, and kids without moms or without a dad. You know, and foreigners is a lot of people that are moving around, you know, like, and that's true of our ministry. Like we may see kids for a few years and then they move, you know, and sometimes like they don't know that they're moving. Sometimes they move somewhere and they got to move somewhere else, and we show up to pick them up and they're just gone. You know, that's changed a little bit because now more people have cell phones. But when we first started, it would literally, we would show up to like a dark, dead house and like no one was around at all, you know.
And just this summer, we had a family who the kids went to go visit dad. And while all the kids were visiting dad, mom, boyfriend and new boyfriend had an altercation where one of them shot and killed the other one. And so now that whole family, all the kids are permanently living with dad. And so they do move around a lot. And so sometimes they're here, but then a lot of times, years later, sometimes they come back. Or we'll find out that because of the seeds that were planted, now they're going to a church somewhere else. And so that does happen.
Yeah, and then it kind of gives us a reason here. It says, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. And so it's like, you know, it's a lot of us, you know, it's easy to grow up and to kind of forget, you know what I mean, and stuff. But like for me, I grew up as like a poor kid with a single mom. I saw my dad like, you know, every other weekend, sort of sometimes and sometimes not. You know, and I remember feeling like I was poor. You know, we were living in different trailer parks and apartments and things like that in Southern Illinois. And I remember feeling like hopeless, and you know, like I didn't fit in all the way. I never had like, you know, the air pumps. I had the ones from Walmart that break if you pump them too many times. You know what I mean? There used to be tennis shoes you could pump them. It was a big deal. You know, for like 2 years, it was a big deal. And if you had them, you were cool. If you weren't, then you got the Walmart version, and you pumped them too much, and they would just go, and then you had nothing, you know. But and I was in trouble a lot. I was a kid that was, you know, I would be the weird kid that would sneak into the back of the class during reading time and put on a Ninja Turtle costume and come out thinking I was really cool, and the teacher's like, "You're getting." They used to paddle when I was in school. I got lots of those. But I remember thinking like, man, I'm kind of a bad kid. You know, I remember hearing teachers saying like, you know, you're kind of a good kid, Adam. Like, you should watch out for that Chandler kid. Like, you know, you don't need to hang out with him and stuff. And thinking, you know, like, man, you know, maybe there's something wrong with me. And that kind of goes back to the wounded heart stuff. And you know, that Janice was talking about earlier, or is talking about, I guess. You know, as I got older, I had people, from a local church. My mom remarried with my stepdad, and we started going to a church there. But then people from the church here that like loved me and invested in me, and I saw kind of like a dream and a purpose. Not that I was just like, oh, now I'm going to be perfect. You know, I still, you know, I got arrested and stuff, and I got in trouble. I haven't been arrested since I was 18. So, yeah, right. It's all sealed. It's all sealed. But I washed a lot of ambulances and did a lot of community service. But that's what, you know, we're called to treat people this way, to defend the fatherless and the widow and the single parents and the kids without, you know, without two parents at home and the people moving around a lot, because that's where we came from. And whether you were there physically or spiritually, that's something that we need. And God says, look, do this because remember where you came from and remember what your life was like. Can you flip that one, Jake?
Oh, yeah, you have it.
Yeah, please. Oh, am I doing it? I think you're doing it. Am I doing that one? There should be one more if you go backwards, maybe.
There you go. It also provides an example to our community. So Matthew 5:14 says, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And so one of the other benefits of New Heights is that we've been able to build a lot of relationships within the community, which have been very helpful when we were trying to build the building and trying to work with different people. When the community was able to see that we are a church that loves people and that goes out and loves people. And New Heights is one of the ministries that doesn't just happen here at our building, that we actually physically go out into the community. So we have a lot of our events at the park or at the playground or in the areas near where our kids live, so that we can go to them, because there's some parents that are never going to set foot in this building, but they will come to a free barbecue. They will come to something at the park. We've also been able to build relationships with the school. So there's been times where my kids in elementary school went to the same elementary school as the kids were picking up. And that worked out great because they were able to build those friendships. But also we knew when things were like curriculum night, meet the teacher night, you know, the science fair night. And so we actually were able to have some of our mentors help kids participate in the science fair who didn't have anybody at home that would be able to do that with them. And we all were able to build good rapport and build good relationships with the school because of that. And so that's been a good way for us to connect to the community.
So the next is a New Heights type ministry helps make disciples. Mm-hmm.
And so we have kind of a collage of pictures here of just some different ways that New Heights has been able to help make disciples. So the first one is some of those kids that we started picking up. And we've been doing this long enough that some of them actually have babies. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so Roman's like our little baby grandkid or whatever. So yeah, but it's great. You know, if you look through the pictures here, like, I don't know if anybody knows Ben, big, tall Ben, from the inner, Ben Hubert. That's Ben when he was like in second grade or third grade, you know, and this is my daughter. So we've had lots of people come through New Heights that have grown up in the ministry, you know, and Ben actually like came as a little kid. And then for whatever reason, like in junior high, kind of stopped coming. He met a friend from school that came to our church in high school and kind of came back. And so we're not up here to say like, it's perfect and you do these things and it's amazing. You know what I mean? But like, cause you know, like sometimes they don't stick around and sometimes they come back and sometimes, you know, who knows, you know, but, okay. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's another person that's not on here. He's on the next one, but Chris and Callie is Chris's wife. Chris used to forbid his daughter from riding on the church bus. We had this like old, this like hoopty bus that had two wheels in the back, and one of them was supposed to like go down if there were too many people or something, but it was stuck. So it just spun all the time, you know, and his daughter would run up and say, can I go? And you know, and he'd stand at the door and be like, no, man, you know, like he, and I'd talk to him like, man, it's really sick, you know? And he's like, no, dude, she's not getting on that bus, you know? And eventually, you know, things turned around. And now Chris is like one of our bus drivers, you know, and so that's really, he does, serves food and stuff.
And, and once Abby did start coming, we had, Chris and Kelly were still not going to vote. Then we had a talent show and all the kids came up to do their talents. And Abby said, Mom and Dad, will you come watch me sing in the talent show? And so they came to watch their kids sing. And then that was how we were able to make that connection.
Yeah. And so we've seen, and the other part that we've seen, like, because we've done New Heights since like the year before we were married or something like that. So our kids have been at New Heights since they were like a year old or, you know, and so this is my daughter driving one of our church vehicles when she was, you know, now she's like 14 going on 21, you know what I mean? You know, and our kids have kind of learned how to love people. They've seen people scream and yell at me, and they've seen me respond with godliness, you know what I mean? And it's really neat, I think, for my kids to see that example, and for us to all get to serve together has been like a really cool, rewarding thing. And some of the kids that we, and the families that we reach out to are like some of my kids' best friends, you know? And so that's been really good for our family. And I think another way that our family kind of helps create, because the disciples that we're really focused on is our kids, you know what I mean? And so our kids get to serve and see us serve in ministry. So the other thing is, I think we believe that New Heights helps, ministry like New Heights helps to grow disciples. So this is Chris, the bus driver guy I was talking about. It's kind of an older picture of him. And then, you know, Mike started to come and like he would just show up sometimes and he started making like hundreds of peanut butter jelly sandwiches at his work. I don't remember what job he was doing where they let him do that. But, you know, his boss was cool with him making like literally buckets of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now Mike took over like the entirety of our food. And now he has moved along to the Columbia church plant. And so it gives our cell groups ways to serve. When we do like a barbecue or an event with New Heights, a lot of times we have like a cell group from our church that will like sponsor that thing. And the cell group isn't committing to like, I'm coming to New Heights every week, but they're like, we're going to help that. We're going to set up, we're going to hang out with kids, we're going to help make some food, we're going to clean up afterwards. And so it gives our cell groups ways to serve. I think it helps people kind of see needs and fulfill needs and find some ways like, you know, growing in responsibilities and things that, and it's been cool for us because many of the people that have served in the years over New Heights have gone out to serve on other church plants and are doing, you know, they're like youth leaders and, you know, involved in New Heights ministries and things on the church plants as well. So, as far as like, you know, how you could have a New Heights type ministry at your church, is our next slide here.
So we think just start small. You don't have to even start like a ministry, right? You could just start by noticing that there's some kids that live on your street who need some help. You could just start by noticing, you know, if you have kids and there's someone in their class that could use, you know, a family to love them. And so you don't have to have a bus or a big, you know, building. You could just be willing to take some kids to church in your car and start there. And just seeing what, just looking around and seeing what needs are in your community. What needs are there? Because there's needs all around us. And sometimes we just have to really just take a moment to look and see what those are.
Yeah. And I think if you would have asked us, like, you know, we weren't trying to start any kind of a ministry. We were just trying to help some kids and it turned into something. But if we were like, if somebody said like, hey, you guys need to start a ministry, we would have been like, we can't do that. Like, I mean, at the time our church like had like 35 or 40 people or something like that.
And I was 19. I worked at Taco Bell.
Our like, our, what do you call it? The foyer worship center, whatever it was, like the size of this room, you know? And so we did, you know, like I said, we had old kind of junky cars and so I think honestly, it's like, you don't have to have any of that stuff. Start small, reach out to people. And something that's been really good for us, like in the last few years, is partly because of COVID and partly because we sold our building a few years ago and we didn't have a building. And we sometimes we'd try to rent space and they'd cancel it and stuff. But in the summers, we just ended up meeting in the neighborhoods where the kids live. They have a apartments and you know, playgrounds and things like that, and a pavilion, and so we just met there. And turns out meeting in the neighborhood was great because people may not want to ride on the church bus, they may not want to come to church, but they would love to get, you know, a free barbecue sandwich or something, you know, and hang out and play kickball and stuff like that. So it really helped us connect with some kids and families that otherwise we probably wouldn't have, or at least in a more a closer way. Yeah. So
if you have hot dogs and a kickball,
You're good. Yeah.
Anticipate challenges. So New Heights is very messy. Like, it is a difficult, messy ministry. Like, kids are messy. They break stuff. They throw tantrums. Like, they get mad. They scream at you sometimes. They might kick you.
They might throw water on you.
They might say, I hate this church and I'm never coming back here again.
Or call the police on you. When you're completely innocent and a church bus of kids is going, Chandler's going to jail. You know? And I'm like, you know what? Calling the police is a great idea. And they're like, no, we didn't mean that. We don't actually want to call the police.
And then the parents are messy too, right? So just like kids might throw tantrums and like parents, they might throw tantrums. They might yell at you. They might say, we hate you and we're never coming to this church again. They'll come back, I promise.
They can't get on the bus.
Mm-hmm. So it is messy, and you do have to be willing to get messy and to anticipate. You know, sometimes in our mind, like, we get these ideas of like, oh, we're just going to buy all the kids Christmas presents and they're going to open them and be like, oh, thank you. I know that Jesus loves me and I know that I'm loved. And like, gosh, you've just made all my dreams come through in this one Christmas present you got me. And it's just not like that at all. It's very messy. It's very difficult. It's very challenging, but it's so worthwhile. But, you know, it's okay. It just know going into it, like, someone's probably going to cry. Someone might yell at you. But that's okay. Those are good things. And you know what?
You might be the one crying.
The people that have yelled at me, I think, love me the most, and they know I love their kids. And they have said that to me before. They're like, I don't know about all these other people. I don't know about other churches. I don't know about Christians, but I know you, Laura, and I know that you love my kids. And so, you know, being willing to stick with people and love them no matter how they treat you, it really does show them. And that's where they see Jesus. And that's the people that we've seen, not that month or maybe even year, but years later, come back and be like, you know what, now I'm in a place that I want a relationship with God. And then they start coming to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next one would be focus on the spiritual need while still meeting the physical needs. You know, it's easy. And you know, with a ministry like New Heights, to think like, oh, we're going to, you know, everybody wants to help give kids presents at Christmas. Everybody wants to give kids shoes and jackets, and you know, that's, and it's great, it's good to do that, but you know, the ministry really should be more about just giving out stuff and about trying to meet the spiritual needs as well. You know, it's one thing to like give a kid a present, it's another to teach them like how to be a father, how to be a friend, how to, you know, control your anger and things like that.
And you do have to do both because these kids do have physical needs. So, for example, you know, there was one kid who we started in this new building. We're all so excited, so much fun, and this kid's coming into class every week, and I'm going to pick him up and get him on the bus, and the teachers are like, oh, you're finally here, because this kid cried and screamed and kicked people and threw all the toys and, you know, ran outside. We had to chase him. So anyway, so it turned out, though, that this little boy, we had changed the time to 11. Well, there's not a lot of food at his house, and so he wasn't getting any breakfast. So he hadn't eaten since, like, you know, the day before. So by the time he got here, he's starving. And so we figured out if we give him a donut, you know, he, now I'm not saying it was perfect. It's not like he went in and like, ooh, poof, different child. But it made such a huge difference. We gave him a donut, and then the kids, the teacher was like, hey, what'd you do this week? Because this was really good. And so we do have to meet their physical needs, because some of the kids, maybe they don't have a bed to sleep in. Maybe they don't have, you know, they need clothes for school. They need school supplies. They need a new pair. You know, you're noticing that their shoes, we had a lot of kids come to a camp this summer that didn't have shoes. And so some of our people were like, hey, I noticed that, you know, this kid's wearing the pool, you know, the tennis shoes in the pool. Like, can we get them some shoes? Because they're two sizes too small. And so we went out and bought shoes. And so sometimes we do have to meet those physical needs, but the spiritual need is the most important. And so it's like finding that balance of meeting the physical so you can do the spiritual, so it's not getting in the way. But it is really easy, and there's so many great organizations out there that just do the physical. They just give out backpacks, or they just give out beds, or they just give out, you know, clothes. And those are all really great things, but those don't give the kids Jesus, which is what they really, really need. And we saw that at Christmas, too. So we live in a great community. There's, you know, a lot of great organizations that give out presents. And so some of our families were getting presents from, like, 3-4 different organizations. So we have a Christmas Eve service, but we would go to pick up for the Christmas Eve service, and the parents would send the kids on Christmas Eve by themselves to church. And then when we drop them off, you know, they're, you look in the window, and you can see there's a big old pile of presents. It wasn't that they didn't have presents, but they didn't have anybody to open them with. They didn't have anybody to spend time with, to make them feel loved. It's like they had a family. And so we were like, you know, it's so important. Yeah, we just showed a video. We love to give kids presents, and that is a huge thing of what we do. But we also want to make sure that on Christmas that they have somebody to be with, to spend time with, to love them, and to be that family, not just to give them a present. Because there's, in our community, we saw that there's a lot of places that they can get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next one is have the long-range goal in mind. You know, like we said, it is messy. It is difficult. You know, if you're working in this kind of a ministry, you're like planting seeds that literally take years and years to grow. And so, you know, you're going to have bad weeks. You're going to have bad months. Kids are going to walk away. Parents are going to walk away. Parents are going to be mean to you, you know. And just remember, like, it's a long-term thing. And if we're consistent, we found, you know, like Laura was saying, if we're consistent and we're, you know, patient and loving and kind, generally people respond to that. Even if they don't respond like we want, you know what I mean? They respond over time if we're persistent. You know what I mean? It's easy to just kind of give up and, you know, but just kind of remember it's a long, you know, you're planting seeds that take years to grow. And so be faithful and consistent. Mm-hmm. And I think there's another one.
Yeah, and some of the kids, like, if you're picking up a kid who's 5, like, they're not going to be a part of, you know, your junior high ministry for, like, 7 years. And even then, they're still going to need a ride. Like, and so it could be, you know, depending on the age of the kid, it could be 5 to 10 years before they are, like, a teenager who can, you know, drive themselves and kind of be a part and really give back. And so it is a really long-term, you know, you get some little short-term wins, but in The real joy of it, seeing people become disciples, takes a long time. And most of our parents that we've had to come and study the Bible, we have known their families for, I would say, probably 5 or 6 years, some of them more than that. So 2 years, I would say, is like, man, that went really fast. So, you know, it's sometimes you do, but it's not like you just meet somebody, you pick their kid up, and then they come study.
And it's kind of like, if you have kids, it's like, they always say time flies, you know what I mean? It's like, I was looking at Corey Hagigi has a baby, and we were just talking about how fast time goes this morning. But But you know, same thing with the kids. Laura was talking about, you know, we've seen kids that like come in and they freak out, and they're, you know, you've got to like sit with them on the bus while they kick and throw things, you know, and then like a few years later, you're like, man, this kid is so, you know, respectful and engaged. And I was like, I forgot that was the same kid that broke my glasses. You know what I mean? The same kid that, you know, that tried to break the windows on the bus, or, you know what I mean? And so it's really neat. It takes a long time, but it's really cool to see growth in them. And then as far as, you know, prepare for God to grow you and your church and your community to be blessed. You know, there's a lot of New Heights has shown me a lot of things in myself that I need to work on and need to change. And I still learn these things, you know. And so I believe that I have grown spiritually. I've grown as a father and a man, as a leader, because of the things that I've seen in my life, you know, because a parent or a kid screaming at you will reveal your weaknesses really quick, you know, because you want to respond a different way. So it's been really, really great for us and for our family. We're really grateful for New Heights and for our church and for the things that we've been able to learn through our ministry. So as far as like, you know, we want to leave you with like a challenge, I guess. You know, if this verse talks about pure and faultless religion, if you were to ask me, like, what is pure and faultless religion, I would probably say, well, without knowing the verse and cheating, it was supposed to be the next one, but Jake flipped it. It's okay, Jake. I'm just joking. But pure and faultless, I would think, well, it's when you go to church, you don't miss any church services, and you read your Bible, and you pray every day, and you grow, and you don't do bad things, you know what I mean? Which is obviously, like, that's part of being a Christian, and that's a good, those are all great things. But this verse says, pure and faultless religion is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. We talked about what orphans and widows are and what that means, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so the challenge here is, like, that's what God says is pure and faultless religion. You know, we all want the, obviously we're at a church conference. That's what we're here for, is to be good religious people. And this is what this verse is saying. That's how you do it, is by serving people, by loving people. And so whether you go back to your church and try to, you know, start some kind of a ministry or something, or you just go back and you know, but try to find somebody, some kids, a family or something that you can invest in, that you can invite to church, that you can invite to like a barbecue at your house or a barbecue at your church, and maybe somebody that you could bring along with you on Sundays to connect them with your church, because it really is something that can start very small but have a really big impact. You know, and I know, like, we do this New Heights ministry. There's been a lot of other families that didn't start some kind of a ministry that just brought a kid down the street, you know. That's kind of what helped me out when I was a kid or a teenager or whatever. And so, you know, we'd like to leave you with James 1:27 and encourage you in that way. So to wrap up, this is our phone numbers and emails, and we're on Facebook Messenger and the website of Facebook on as well. It's a thing. So I know there's others too. I have those, but I'm working on it. So we'd love to help you. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to hear like what your church is doing, or, you know, how it's worked for you. And one of the things I think that's been really, really great for us with like church planning and stuff is like, we've had, like I said, a lot of kids move around. And so there's been a lot of times where a kid has left Wentzville and gone somewhere else. And a lot of times, you know, we've tried to connect kids in other communities and it hasn't gone very well because other churches, I mean, because of a variety of things, there's nothing wrong with the churches, but it hasn't worked very well in some times. But what's been really great is with having our own church plants, like we had some of our kids leave in the last few years, they moved to St. Louis, and it turns out they live pretty close to the Innerbelt. And so, like, I can call Aldo and Eliza, who were doing New Heights. Now they've moved into junior high ministry at their church, and say, hey, these kids moved down there. And Aldo and Eliza will call their parents and call their, you know, they'll help them move in. And it's been really cool that, like, the kids that we really loved that moved away, like, have new people that love them, like, just like that, you know? So I cried when we were preparing. I was like, hey, she cried, and I made through it. So thanks for listening to us. We're happy to answer any questions you have, if you have any questions.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions?
So how do you pay for everything?
So lots of ways. So initially how we paid for it, honestly,
we didn't buy anything
student
before.
Loans?
Yeah. Student loans. Right. Student loans.
For real? No, but, anyway,
I should. You paid for stuff.
So we paid for ourselves. Yes. And so we figured out like where you could get a 99 cent kids meal. And took us there. But then God has blessed our ministry immensely from that. So we have had people within our church that donates. And so there are families within our church who want to give. And so they give and purchase things. We have made connections with other churches. So we've had other churches that said, hey, we think what you're doing is really cool. Can we help you buy a bus? And they gave us money for a bus. We also have some people who have opportunities within their business. So if you work for a large corporation, they might do matching. And so like one person, she gave, you know, $500 and her corporation matched that. And so we had $1,000 to send kids to camp this summer. And so we did get a 501c3 that is separate from the church, and that helps us out a lot because there are some things that you can't give to churches, but that you can give to like a tutoring and mentoring program. So we do have that tax thing, which she can tell you more about that part, but it is separate because there are a lot of like grant opportunities or businesses that are willing to donate. I don't know if places do this anymore, but we used to just go like around to like every business and just ask like, hey, would you do something? Recently we had Canes give, you know, like 30 kids meals to us. Chick-fil-A has given us kids meals before. The Cardinals, if you go on their website, a lot of different businesses in your community, they'll have information on how you can get stuff. I do think for that, it helps a little bit if you can, I know we said you don't have to make a ministry, but if you have like a name or something that you can call yourself outside of just your church name, I do think that really helps in getting outside donations because people are much more likely, and sometimes like the fine print of it, like they're able to give to a school group and not to a church.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well. How many? I just like, yeah, did you have a question? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, if I understand correctly,
like
you kind of do your
matriculation
things. Is that right?
Yeah.
So our, like, I guess, so we pick up kids on Sundays for church. We do an after school program. It's on Thursdays. We bring kids up to the church and we do, like, they get a home cooked meal. We have volunteers that cook for them. And then they do like a 30-minute educational kind of something. Usually it's kind of a game because that's a lot better than sit down and learn this thing, you know what I mean? And then we do a Bible lesson. Mm-hmm. And so, and then beyond that, like, you know, we try to like take kids fishing with, you know, like, because I have kids, my son Everett's back there in the back. And so like we'll go fishing and we'll bring, you know, one of the other kids with us. Or sometimes they may come with me to, I don't know, whatever it is that I'm doing, you know what I mean?
So
different times. Yeah. I mean, we try to have like as much contact as we can. You know, and so like, I'm hoping that, I shouldn't even say this, but I know there's another thing tonight. I'm planning on inviting a kid to come with me, you know, and like, it's not this, obviously this isn't for kids, but he would love to come and hear some singing and hang out a little bit. And like, I mean, he, you know, it's just cool to be around like our college students and stuff, you know? So it's very easy for us to just say like, do you want to come along with this? Do you want to come over to our house for a barbecue after church? Like we just kind of like, say extending Sundays is easy for us because we can just be like, you want to go get Happy Meals or whatever after church? Or if the Cardinals score more than 6, we get 50 cent drinks. So you can go to the gas station. There's 60 cents, inflation just increased them. But so we, you know, we go get drinks or something like that, you know, and just kind of take them to do things that we're otherwise doing. Or we get donuts before church sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and then on Thursdays, we do have like a kind of more structured thing on Thursdays. That goes from 6 to 7:30. We, over the years, I think have done almost every day of the week and different times, like just depending on what volunteers we had. So when we started New Heights, we were in college and our whole church was in college, kind of. And so we did it like at I don't know, we picked up the kids right when they got off the bus. So it was four. It was more of an after school thing. But then as our church grew and our jobs grew, like, we couldn't be there at four. And so that's when it kind of shifted to more of the evening time. So I think it just depends on what volunteers you have available, because kids need people all the time. And so if you can do it after school, obviously we know that's a really, you know, studies show that's a tough time for kids. But if that doesn't work for what you have at your church, you can do the evening, and that's worked really well for us. Yeah.
They're not in that school anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still in school. So it's just like keeping that contact with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like by the time we're kind of done, they might be
Off
the bus, like, we might see them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if it's not that Sunday contact.
So we've also tried to build relationships with our junior high ministry. So, So right now we just do kindergarten through fifth grade. We have done up to eighth grade before, but in recent years we've just done kindergarten through fifth grade. But then, so it works out really well. Right now I happen to have a middle schooler. So for Cross Chat, which is what our junior hires have on Wednesday, I help coordinate the rides. Now, I don't pick up all those kids myself, but I find volunteers that help on Thursdays that are available Wednesdays. And so they'll go pick up the kids and just take them to junior high. So junior high is kind of where we shift the kids from, like, the New Heights ministry to more like they're a part of the church, just like any other kid that's in sixth grade or seventh grade. And that's hard and it gets messy. But, you know, when we look at kids like Reggie and Deja and Ben, and we have, you know, some kids that are coming through now, like, it does work. But it takes a lot of coordinating between the two ministries, like whatever you're, you know, is serving the sixth graders, to get those kids connected in that way.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I guess she was good. I'll let you go first because my wife is always right and picked you first. Yeah, sure. So we had a VBS and we met some families, and then we would just kind of knock doors. We had a little church bus, it wasn't fancy at all. It was like word art or whatever they call it with a bus on it. And we would, you know, go around and invite kids. And we haven't really done that in a long time because now, like, kids tell other kids and kids ask to come and stuff. And because we didn't have a building, so we were limited on space anyway. So James and Sierra back here are going to start a New Heights area in a neighborhood right across the way here. And our plan is to go invite kids with flyers in the neighborhood and invite them to I think we're going to do a Rock the Block, or we'll just do a barbecue. Rock the Block is like a church function that we're having. I think is what we're having. If it's not having, then we'll have our own barbecue, and we got a playground out there, and we'll invite kids over, and then hopefully we'll make some connections to be able to pick up kids and families from that kind of thing. So we just kind of word of mouth and inviting, and, you know, so. And then I guess, so we started in, it's called New Heights because we started in a neighborhood called the Wentzville Heights, and then we started picking up kids in another neighborhood. So there's like a few neighborhoods where we go now. And those all started with us going and inviting, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, so the Heights, when we moved, so Laura and I started New Heights kind of in college, and then whenever we got married, we bought a house in the Wentzville Heights neighborhood, so we kind of lived with the kids and families you're trying to reach out to. When we moved there, I don't know when that was, it must have been 2006, the park was like abandoned. Like there's a picture of it in one of these, in the very second slide of the park. It was like overgrown with trees. The city had stopped using it because there was so much, like, people would go for baseball and all their baseball gloves would be stolen and kids would throw bottles on the baseball field and stuff. It's this one here. So actually we used to do we haven't done it because now, if you can't tell, we live in a really nice area now. You know, 15, 20 years ago, Wentzville was a little bit different, you know, but So these weren't really used at all, but our logo is painted on in the park there. We painted these lines on the field. We
Actually,
tore out a
Steve
bunch
Wells
of
Steve Wells painted those lines?
Steve, yeah. No, I don't. Steve touched them up, I think. Oh, Steve fuck. Steve did the logo.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, sorry. But yeah, there was a bunch of fences and things, and the Parks Department asked us to keep track of our volunteer hours. They used all of that to buy a 5-year-old playground there that's like really, really nice, that was bought with a grant in part because of the hours that our ministry put in there. And so at that time, I mean, the Parks Department, the director has moved on, but you know, she would give us tickets to like anything the parks did. It's like, whatever you guys want, you know, you can have it. And so, yeah, we used to do a community service day, which has really helped us with the community. Did you have a question too?
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of curious. How are you able to get like a 501c3 like thing with connected to the New Heights?
Yeah.
Still being affiliated to a church.
So New Heights is a nonprofit in Missouri. It's very easy to start that, and I think about every state you're in. 501c3 is a little bit different. You know, like that's a federal federal nonprofit. I'm a personal injury lawyer, so I kind of know these things, but you know, but we registered as a nonprofit. It's an educational exemption that has some kind of a religious base. I don't remember like which subsection it is, but and generally like the funds we get are not spent like strictly on church stuff. You know, we help people pay for their rent. We help people pay for, you know, we pay for gas to pick up kids to go do things. We pay for all the kids to get Big Macs or whatever, you know. So the stuff we spend our money on is not usually like overtly religious things.
Yeah.
And so that kind of provides a separation.
You
know, I'm not that kind of a lawyer. I'm just joking. It probably would be. I'm just joking. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's lots. You know what? And that. You know, honestly, there's a lot of thing. There's a lot of fear and stuff of like, well, what if I do this? What if I do that? Generally, I don't think that's illegal, unless you're overtly like trying to get money from people to, you know, to spend on your church building and pay your preacher or something. You know, but yeah, I think that is kind of the scare. Some people are like, oh man, what if I get in trouble for trying this thing or that thing? You're not gonna get in trouble. You know what I mean? People love helping kids. You know, people love serving and seeing people serve. And I know there's some people that have contributed to New Heights, not because like people that don't like Christians or church at all, but they're like, but I love what you're doing. And that's really cool that's what a real Christian does kind of thing. You know what I mean? So yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to do that. So yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking. Anybody else have any questions or anything? All right. I guess we are done.
They're done, and
okay.
We'll meet back in here for the final track of Divorce Care.
Okay.
So, all right. Anyway, I've known Chandler since he was all trouble. When he said that he was trouble, he was trouble. So, yeah, we were worried for a minute about him.
That's fair. That's fair.
No, but we always loved him, and so thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
You do amazing work, and it's so neat to see all the pictures because a lot of those people are involved in the ministry. So.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
Why don't we pray and then we'll.
Yeah, and then there's a little 5-minute break. So okay. The other classes are done. I thought if we got done early, we'd have to be quiet, but they're all good. So.
Okay, great. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for God for the Antioch Collective this weekend. God, you know, for the people that came to listen. God, the people that drove from lots of faraway places. Mm-hmm. God, we're grateful for that, God. We're excited about the things that you're doing at their churches, God, and their families and their ministries. God, you know, Laura and I are grateful for New Heights, God, for how you've, you know, changed us. God, you've given us purpose, you know, through a way to serve, God, and it's impacted our marriage and our kids and our family and our church, God, and we're grateful for you, God, not just like telling us to go help people or whatever, God, but letting us be a part of your kingdom, God, and a part of your mission. God, I pray as we, you know, talk and share and go through other classes, God, that we grow closer to you, closer to each other, God. And I want to pray that you bless each of the people here, God, to go identify needs and the helpless and hurting in their communities, God, and that you would God would work in lives and give people hope, God, as they work through you. And God, it's Christ, my prayer. Amen. Amen.